Well, I don't know if we ever officially started a teaching series with an apology before, but I'm going to start this one with an apology. This might be the most overdue series that we have ever done in the history of our church. Let me explain about that. One of the primary things that we hope to do with a teaching series is we want to do the best we can to help people see that the Bible can equip us for life. Life is filled with highs and lows. It is filled with joys and sorrows. There are times we experience anger. We experience frustration. There are times we experience loneliness, sadness. There are times we experience fear. We experience anxiety. There are times we get excitement. There are times we just can't wait for tomorrow because of what's going to happen. There's times we feel love. We feel compassion for other people. There are times we feel jealous. There's times we feel hatred. There are times where life is filled with these moments of great peace, great contentment. There are times they're filled with deep, deep regret. For many of us, there are times we are in awe of God's goodness. We're in awe of what he's done. There are times we are ready to go all in, to say, God, I'm in. Whatever you ask, I am there. There are times we feel grateful. There are times we feel blessed. And then there's times we feel abandoned. There's times we feel confused. There are times we struggle. How could God be who the Bible says he is when we see the things that we see? Let me see if I can get a show of hands on this one. How many of you have ever had a mixture of those things all in the same day? Right? Yeah, that's pretty much me every time I'm in traffic, right? Mixture of these things. Well, this summer, from now all the way up until we get to our outdoor services, so June and July, we are going to go into a section of the Bible that is so long overdue. We've certainly quoted from it before, but we've never done a study on this book. This is a section of the Bible that has spoken to thousands, well, not millions of people, countless people over the course of thousands of years. This section of the Bible, it is raw. This section of the Bible, it is honest. This section of the Bible speaks to the human experience more than Taylor Swift songs. For real. I'm not just saying that. This book of the Bible that we're talking about, it's the book of Psalms. And our subtitle for this series is Honest to God. This section of the Bible is so rich. Other sections of the Bible often quote from it. In fact, Jesus quotes from this section of the Bible on the cross. It's Psalm 22:1 when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? All right. Where did these Psalms come from? And why does that matter? Why are they arranged the way they are? Why does that matter? The Psalms, they're mostly songs. They're poems. All right. How does that reflect then? How do we understand them? How do we interpret them? How do we quote them? How do we apply them to our lives? There's a lot of emotion in the Psalms. So what do you do with that? Like, when are we just reading what someone is expressing? And then when are we reading something that we should align our lives or our thoughts with? Like, when is what? And can we even know the difference there? Well, this summer, let's go there. Let's go there together. If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this one down. The Psalms are a uniquely helpful collection of divinely inspired literature. The Psalms are a uniquely helpful collection of divinely inspired literature. Somebody or a team of people went through a whole lot of work and effort to collect these documents, assemble them the way they assembled them, and then pass them down to us. Now, what I just said about this work being uniquely helpful, a collection, I mean, that's true of the Bible itself, if you zoom out. The Bible itself is a uniquely helpful collection of history and letters and teachings and commands and promises and proverbs and parables and prophecies and visions. It's got all of that and more all under one binder, different types of literature. And different types of literature can serve different types of purposes. For example, go to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. You've got the Bible describing a miracle. There's this miracle. It happened when Moses led the children of Israel out of slavery. He leads them to the edge of the Red Sea. And it says in chapter 14 that God parted the waters. It says they crossed through on dry land. So that's chapter 14. The very next chapter, chapter 15, Moses leads people in a song about what just happened. And in this song, the lyrics describe a blast of God's breath that caused the waters to pile up, and it causes the deeps to, quote, congeal in the depths, in the heart of the sea. So chapter 14, that's one purpose. Here's what happened. Here's the history. Then chapter 15, it begs us to stop and hit pause and go, wow. A blast of God's nostrils, is what the text says, causes the waters to go up in a heap and congeal. I never noticed that before. Congeal. That's like in those movies when you get this kind of semi-permeable liquid barrier, you know. It makes you stop and go, wow, let me think about that. The Bible, it is a masterful blend of genres. Masterful blend of genres. And they help us experience things. They help us see things through these different eyes. And that brings us then to this deeply personal, expressive, verbal artistry that we find in the book of Psalms. The Psalms, if you're not familiar with them, they're a collection of 150 songs and poems and prayers. They come from different eras in Israel's history, and they were carefully vetted. They were expertly arranged. They come from some names that you'll recognize. There's more than 70 that are attributed to King David. There's at least two that are connected to King Solomon. There's at least one that goes all the way back to the time of Moses. And then there's all kinds of names that very few people would recognize. Well, Psalms 1 and 2, they serve as an introduction to this collection. In Psalm 1, we read that the person who delights, it says, in the Torah of the Lord and who meditates on the Torah day and night, they're going to be blessed. If you're not familiar with the word Torah, it's a word that means teaching. It's also a word that can refer to the first five books of the Old Testament. The implication here in Psalm 1, as this collection gets started, is if you want to understand God's ways, if you want to walk in God's ways, you're going to want to meditate day and night on these things. And the book of Psalms is a great way to do that. Those who don't, according to that same psalm, will be like, get this, a chaff from a kernel of wheat that's blown in the wind. So already this imagery starts coming in. Think about that. Can you picture that? If you don't meditate on this day and night, it's like you're this chaff blowing away from a seed of wheat in the wind. All right, so that's Psalm 1. That's how this opens. Psalm 2 is also part of this introduction. Psalm 2 opens with a poetic pondering that says, why do the nations rage? Why do people plot in vain against God's anointed one? And then Psalm 2 closes also saying, people are blessed when you don't do that. When you take refuge in him, you're going to be blessed. So together, these first two psalms, they set up what follows. They set it up as a Torah-like resource for those who want to understand God's ways, that want to walk in his ways. So that's the first two psalms. And then the rest of them, the other 148, they're divided up into five sections. And how do we know that? Because every one of the sections ends with some version of this. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen. One of the interesting features of these five sections is how many, many, many of those poems, those songs in the first three sections, many of them are really heavy with lament. And then it's interesting by the end, by those last two, there's a lot more praise and a lot less lament. Now, even though the percentages change, there's usually a mixture of both in a lot of these psalms. There's a mixture of praise and lament. And I love what the Bible Project team says about that. They said, Psalms teaches us to neither ignore our pain nor let it what? Determine our lives. All right? Isn't that the key right there to mental health? Don't ignore it. Don't ignore your pain, but also don't let it determine your life. All right, the Bible Project team, they also make a really interesting case. They say the Psalms, they invite us into a literary temple. I know, I'm getting it out, getting my literaries right. A literary version of King Solomon's temple. The Psalms are like that. They're like a literary version of the tabernacle that came before it. What were those? Those were places where heaven and earth met. Heaven and earth met. They met with God to experience his presence. And in that tabernacle, in that temple, art and image were everywhere. They were both filled with objects and symbols and sights and songs and smells and rituals and priests. And everything was all about trying to get people connected with God. So imagine then how traumatic it would have been when Babylon comes in and destroys the temple, you know, takes it down to the ground and takes the people off into exile. So this place that you had to go and connect with God, it's gone. Well, the Bible Project team did a really good job of saying, hey, this is now like a literary temple. You can come to this collection of these works and you can use them to meet with God. This divinely inspired collection allowed God's people to enter into a sacred space wherever they were. If you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. The Psalms can help you become better equipped for life in a beautiful and broken world. And I want to encourage you as we read these Psalms, really think about what's being said. When life gets hard, the Psalms can connect us with others who've been there too. Here's some examples. Psalm 6. Lord, I'm languishing. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. Psalm 42. My tears have been my food day and night. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Anyone relate to any of that? Absolutely. Or how about this? There are also multiple psalms that remind us God is like a rock. He's like a fortress. He is a source of refuge and strength who can get us through life's storms. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Or how about this? Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. He set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. So you got a whole host of psalms that do that. Here are some other psalms too. Psalms that remind us God's ways are good, and we can look to him for guidance. Like this from Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the heart. Or this one, Psalm 25, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Can you just almost picture somebody like who's longing? I want to get this right. Teach me your ways. How about this one, 37? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. All right, this next one, those of you who call Emmanuel home, I bet a whole lot of you are going to be loving this because we are all in on the next generation. And take a look at what this one says. Psalm 71. Oh God, from my youth, you've taught me. And I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to my old age and my gray hairs, oh God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your night or your might to another generation. Your power to all those who will come. There's also Psalms that speak to God's grace and forgiveness. Look at this, Psalm 103. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. There's also practical reminders in the Psalms about the importance of building our lives on a firm foundation. Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in what? Labor in vain. The Psalms also have these great pieces of practical practical prayers that you could pray in everyday situations like this one. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Isn't that helpful imagery? Wouldn't the world be a better place if we thought of our lips like a door that could let things in and out? So good. All right, there's also Psalms that remind us that life is short, like Psalm 39. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. There are Psalms that remind us that life isn't the end. Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Anyone relating to any of this? What a wide range of human experience. It's all in there. All right, maybe some of you can relate to this as well. If you have your Bible with you, let's open up to Psalm 139. I want to show you something here. If you don't have a Bible at home, you can go right now, hit pause, go to Bible.com. You can download a free Bible app there. All right, I want to show you this. One of the striking things that you're going to notice if you go into the Psalms is how one moment, it seems, the Psalm is going one direction, taking you deep into this feeling, this emotion that you have, and then all of a sudden, without even shifting, you know, pushing in the clutch, you're shifting gears to a whole different thing. I want to show you this from a Psalm, Psalm 139. All right, so verses 1 through 4. O Lord, you've searched me and you've known me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You've acquainted me with all, or you're acquainted with all my ways, even before a word is on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it together. Let's jump down to verse 14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Let's jump to verses 17 through 18. How precious are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm with you. All right. So let's say you're typing this out on a text. What kind of emojis might you, if you're an emoji person, what kind of emojis would you associate with what we've just read so far? Maybe something like this. If you want to find this out, and that kind of, right? This is just, you know me, you searched me. God, you're so wonderful, you're good. Okay, then, with absolutely no break, this is the next verse. It goes from happy halo, pray, happy halo to this. You can look it up yourself. I'm not making this up. Verse 19. O Lord, that you would slay the wicked. O God, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them as my enemies. In this section, if you were to then put some emojis after that, if you're an emoji person, maybe something like this. Rah! And again, fact check me on this. It goes right from that. This is the next verse, the next two verses, right after it. And this is how it concludes. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any grievous way in me, like the last two verses, and lead me in the way everlasting. What are we back to? But here's one of the things I love. I mean, again, how much is that like us? Aren't there times you're feeling one thing and then something happens, you get triggered, and it's a whole nother thing? I don't know of another book of the Bible that speaks to the human experience. I don't know of another work in human history that speaks to the full range of human experience like this one does. Especially when you're there. It's especially when you're in those moments and you're coming across these words, these divinely inspired words. It can be such a connecting piece. So here's our invitation. As we head into the summer, if you're taking notes, if I write this down, let's experience the Psalms this summer. Let's experience it. This June and July, we invite you to explore this unparalleled collection of raw, unfiltered, and highly personal songs and poems from real people, experiencing the highest of highs, the lowest of lows, everything in between. This divinely inspired collection, this can really help. It can really help us. Let me give you some concrete examples. This summer, let's say you're out and you're watching that sunset over a lake. Let's say you have vacation plans that take you to the ocean.
They take you to a mountain. And you're like, oh, what do I even say? You got things like this, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Or this, Psalm 8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, who are we that you are mindful of us? How about this one? The fool says in their heart, there is no God. As you explore the Psalms, here's another thing you're going to see. You're going to discover there is a stunning percentage of Psalms that deal with themes of enemies and vengeance. Stunning percentage. If you've ever wondered if it is safe to be honest with God about how you really feel, go to the Psalms. They're filled with verses like the one we just read. I hate them with complete hatred. It's in there. This summer, there's also going to be no shortage of stories that remind us this is a broken world. And it's easy sometimes, you look at the way we're trending, where you like go, there is no pulling out of this nosedive. We see that in the scriptures. Here we go, Psalm 12. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is no more. For the faithful have vanished from the human race. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but they harbor deception in their hearts. Does that read like today? Absolutely. Did it read like other points in history? Absolutely. How about this one? Oh man, Psalm 11:3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You ever felt like that? Like what difference could I make? I'm seeing a lot of nods here. All right, here's another category. When wrong appears to be winning, Psalms remind us, hey, we're not the first to feel that way. We've been down this road before. Psalm 17:1. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend my cry. Another huge theme in the Psalms. Cries for help and protection. There are built-in prayers right here. This is from Psalm 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising up against me. But you, O Lord, you're a shield about me. Arise, O Lord, save me, O God. How many of you could have used that at some point in your life? How about this one? There's Psalms that remind us in these moments, reach out. Reach out to him. Psalm 143. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. There are times when it helps to know even the authors of the Psalms felt confusion. We see that in here too. Or even abandonment by God. Psalm 10. Why, O Lord, do you stand so far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? There's also times like this where it helps to have language for those moments of intimacy with you and God, and you don't maybe know what to say. You want to know, want to express that you know that he loves you and he cares more deeply than we can comprehend. Here's some examples of that. Psalm 94, when the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Psalm 46, be still and know that I'm God. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This summer, we invite you to explore this uniquely helpful collection of divinely inspired literature that can help you become better equipped for life in a beautiful and broken world. And to that end, what we're doing is we're creating a resource page for this series. Those who came in here today, you got the card here. We've got the resource link down at the bottom, emmanuel.church/resources. We're filming this on a Tuesday, so give us some time to make sure we get it up, you know, by Sunday. But we want to invite you to check this out. And here are the several things we want to invite you to do to hit this from many angles over the course of these next 10 weeks. We invite you to watch. We invite you to watch the Bible Project videos. They've got more than you probably have time to watch, but there's at least a couple of them that I want to encourage you to look at. They have a little 5-minute overview of the Psalms that is excellent. I don't know how anyone can do that. Pull off 5-minute overview of the Psalms. They do a great job. They also have another short video. It's kind of in that 5-minute range where they help you understand biblical poetry. And even if you don't think poetry is your thing, it's really, really well done. They do a great job of helping you understand this different type of literature that's so helpful. So I invite you to watch. Here's another thing we invite you to do. We invite you to read the Psalms. Certainly read all of them, but one of the things we thought might be helpful is we help to put together a short little index of some themes. So if you're looking like, I'm feeling this, or I know someone that's going through this, here's some Psalms you could recommend. So really quickly, we'll put those up on the screen. Next week, Pastor Dan's going to be leading us into Psalms about pain and lament. Week 2, praise. Week 3, petition. Week 4, petition. Week 3, praise. Week 5, perspective. Week 6, presence. Week 7, prophecy. The Psalms contain prophecy. Week 8, protection. And week 9 will be fun because that'll be Pastor Henry's first official message as one of our staff. And then week 10, perseverance. So we invite you to read the Psalms. If you want a place to start, here's a great, great list. All right, here's another thing we invite you to do. So we invite you to watch, we invite you to read. We're going to invite you to memorize Psalm 23. I can't think of a psalm that has proven itself more helpful to more people over more generations in more situations than Psalm 23. It is such a wonderful piece of poetry and hope that to have internalized in your head, in your heart. I mentioned the last series, this one helped me personally. When I was in just a really tough season of life, unlike anything I experienced before, I would recite this over and over and over and over again. We're going to use a translation for memorizing this that we don't use very often. The reason we're using the King James for this one is twofold. One, because it's so beautiful. That translation of this psalm, it's beautiful and it flows just really well. And then the second reason is many, many people in our congregation had memorized this when they were kids. And the most common translation that people memorized from was this version. So this is a chance for us to come together. Another opportunity for us to come together along one translation here. So we want to help you out. We're going to be, each week, we're going to be reciting this, and perhaps you'll learn it just by coming over the next 10 weeks. So the group here has been primed. We practiced this once. We're going to do this, what's called responsive reading. I'll read a section, and then wherever you are, I want to invite you to read along with the second part. And together, we're going to memorize this thing over the next 10 weeks. So here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One of the reasons, there's so many reasons I want to have you memorize this, but one of the reasons is then you can really start to soak it up and really absorb it. Can we memorize this in 10 weeks? Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, right now, Maria Eiberg, she's overseeing our 4th and 5th graders, their ministry. She put out a challenge 1 week for them to memorize it. Multiple kids, 4th and 5th graders, had it memorized in 1 week. So come on, we can do this. So by the way, way to go, Maria and your team. Thank you. Thank you for taking something like this and getting it into the heads and into the hearts of our kids. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. I also want to say thank you to all the people here. I thank them privately, but I want to thank them with you, our online community. We filmed this on Tuesday. Big old thunderstorm rolling through, people coming in all drenched. So wherever you are right now, could you just take a moment and do this for our people right here, the camera crew and everybody for coming in and making this happen. Thank you so much. Thank you, all of you. Thank you for that. All right. Here's another way to explore the Psalms. We invite you to listen. listen to our curated Psalms playlist. When I was rereading the Psalms in the months leading up to the series, I was struck by the number of times I'm reading the Psalms. I'm like, that's a line from a song. That's a line from a song. That's a line from a song. I wrote, there were at least 30 times, more than 30 times that I counted just myself going through this. There are so many Psalms that have inspired artists throughout, you know, decades here that creating these songs that we, many of us know. So we're going to put together a curated playlist of some of these songs. We're going to be singing them throughout this series. We did earlier here, and we're going to be closing with that too. We invite you to take some of these fresh takes on some of these beautiful, beautiful songs. All right. One more thing we invite you to do. Here it is. We invite you to share this experience with others. Share it. How many of you have ever, show of hands, how many of you ever recommended a song to somebody else? Right. How many of you ever recommended a book to somebody else? As the Spirit opens those doors, why not recommend this collection that has proven itself so helpful to so many people over so many centuries? There has never been a person, any time, anywhere, that couldn't benefit from this. They may be resistant to it, but they could benefit from it. Consider the places that these Psalms have been accessed throughout history. Like, for real. Not just camps, not just churches, not just homes. Think how many times these Psalms have been a source of strength and hope in hospitals. Think how many times they have been a source of hope and all kinds of things in prisons. Think about bomb shelters. How many times have people been huddled in a bomb shelter saying these Psalms, reciting these Psalms in catacombs, in basements? Like, I'm not joking, like when the tornado sirens are going off. In times of celebration, in times of sorrow, in times of confusion, in times of joy, this is a collection that is uniquely positioned to help us and equip us for life. The deepest longings that we have are to be known and to be loved. In a world where those longings are so rarely met, countless people have found the Book of Psalms. It speaks to us in a way that almost nothing else does. Like no other collection I know, outside of the entire Bible itself, the Psalms invite us to bring our whole selves. So let's do that, and let's be lining up at this literary temple to be honest with God. And let's experience that right now. We've got a song that is based on Psalm 23. Let's experience the Psalm together. Amen? Amen.
Well, I don't know if we ever officially started a teaching series with an apology before, but I'm going to start this one with an apology. This might be the most overdue series that we have ever done in the history of our church. Let me explain about that. One of the primary things that we hope to do with a teaching series is we want to do the best we can to help people see that the Bible can equip us for life. Life is filled with highs and lows. It is filled with joys and sorrows. There are times we experience anger. We experience frustration. There are times we experience loneliness, sadness. There are times we experience fear. We experience anxiety. There are times we get excitement. There are times we just can't wait for tomorrow because of what's going to happen. There's times we feel love. We feel compassion for other people. There are times we feel jealous. There's times we feel hatred. There are times where life is filled with these moments of great peace, great contentment. There are times they're filled with deep, deep regret. For many of us, there are times we are in awe of God's goodness. We're in awe of what he's done. There are times we are ready to go all in, to say, God, I'm in. Whatever you ask, I am there. There are times we feel grateful. There are times we feel blessed. And then there's times we feel abandoned. There's times we feel confused. There are times we struggle. How could God be who the Bible says he is when we see the things that we see? Let me see if I can get a show of hands on this one. How many of you have ever had a mixture of those things all in the same day? Right? Yeah, that's pretty much me every time I'm in traffic, right? Mixture of these things. Well, this summer, from now all the way up until we get to our outdoor services, so June and July, we are going to go into a section of the Bible that is so long overdue. We've certainly quoted from it before, but we've never done a study on this book. This is a section of the Bible that has spoken to thousands, well, not millions of people, countless people over the course of thousands of years. This section of the Bible, it is raw. This section of the Bible, it is honest. This section of the Bible speaks to the human experience more than Taylor Swift songs. For real. Not just saying that. This book of the Bible that we're talking about, it's the book of Psalms. And our subtitle for this series is Honest to God. This section of the Bible is so rich. Other sections of the Bible often quote from it. In fact, Jesus quotes from this section of the Bible on the cross. It's Psalm 22:1 when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Right. Where did these Psalms come from? And why does that matter? Why are they arranged the way they are? Why does that matter? The Psalms, they're mostly songs, they're poems. All right. How does that reflect then? How do we understand them? How do we interpret them? How do we quote them? How do we apply them to our lives? There's a lot of emotion in the Psalms. So what do you do with that? Like, when are we just reading what someone is expressing? And then when are we reading something that we should align our lives or our thoughts with? When is what? And can we even know the difference there? Well, this summer, let's go there. Let's go there together. If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this one down. The Psalms are a uniquely helpful collection of divinely inspired literature. The Psalms are a uniquely helpful collection of divinely inspired literature. Somebody or a team of people went through a whole lot of work and effort to collect these documents, assemble them the way they assembled them, and then pass them down to us. Now, what I just said about this work being uniquely helpful, a collection, I mean, that's true of the Bible itself, if you zoom out. The Bible itself is a uniquely helpful collection of history and letters and teachings and commands and promises and proverbs and parables and prophecies and visions. It's got all of that and more all under one binder, different types of literature. And different types of literature can serve different types of purposes. For example, go to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14, you've got the Bible describing a miracle. There's this miracle. It happened when Moses led the children of Israel out of slavery. He leads them to the edge of the Red Sea.
And it says in chapter 14 that God parted the waters. It says they crossed through on dry land. So that's chapter 14. The very next chapter, chapter 15, Moses leads people in a song about what just happened. And in this song, the lyrics describe a blast of God's breath that caused the waters to pile up, and it causes the deeps to, quote, congeal in the depths, in the heart of the sea. So chapter 14, that's one purpose. Here's what happened. Here's the history. Then chapter 15, it begs us to stop and hit pause and go, wow. A blast of God's nostrils, is what the text says, causes the waters to go up in a heap and congeal. I never noticed that before. Congeal. That's like in those movies when you get this kind of semi-permeable liquid barrier, you know. It makes you stop and go, wow, let me think about that. The Bible, it is a masterful blend of genres. Masterful blend of genres. And they help us experience things. They help us see things through these different eyes. And that brings us then to this deeply personal, expressive, verbal artistry that we find in the book of Psalms. The Psalms, if you're not familiar with them, they're a collection of 150 songs and poems and prayers. They come from different eras in Israel's history, and they were carefully vetted. They were expertly arranged. They come from some names that you'll recognize. There's more than 70 that are attributed to King David. There's at least two that are connected to King Solomon. There's at least one that goes all the way back to the time of Moses. And then there's all kinds of names that very few people would recognize. Well, Psalms 1 and 2, they serve as an introduction to this collection. In Psalm 1, we read that the person who delights, it says, in the Torah of the Lord and who meditates on the Torah day and night, they're going to be blessed. If you're not familiar with the word Torah, it's a word that means teaching. It's also a word that can refer to the first five books of the Old Testament. The implication here in Psalm 1, as this collection gets started, is if you want to understand God's ways, if you want to walk in God's ways, you're going to want to meditate day and night on these things. And the book of Psalms is a great way to do that. Those who don't, according to that same psalm, will be like, get this, a chaff from a kernel of wheat that's blown in the wind. So already this imagery starts coming in. Think about that. Can you picture that? If you don't meditate on this day and night, it's like you're this chaff blowing away from a seed of wheat in the wind. All right, so that's Psalm 1. That's how this opens. Psalm 2 is also part of this introduction. Psalm 2 opens with a prophetic, or a poetic, I should say, a poetic pondering that says, why do the nations rage? Why do people plot in vain against God's anointed one? And then Psalm 2 closes also saying, people are blessed when you don't do that. When you take refuge in him, you're going to be blessed. So together, these first two psalms, they set up what follows. They set it up as a Torah-like resource for those who want to understand God's ways, that want to walk in his ways. So that's the first two psalms. And then the rest of them, the other 148, they're divided up into five sections. And how do we know that? Because every one of the sections ends with some version of this. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen. One of the interesting features of these five sections